Hold on to your hats, because more election madness is on the way. Angela Merkel will seek another term in Germany as Germany's chancellor, and France's presidential elections are shaping up as a battle between two candidates who want to mend ties with Russia. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So, calling for a rapprochement with Russia, former French Prime Minister François Fillon wins the first round of the center-right primary in France. And with the French left in disarray, this means that Fillon is emerging as the most likely opponent of Marine Le Pen in the runoff. Fillon won 44.2%, former Prime Minister Alain Juppé won 28.4%, and former President Nicolas Sarkozy won 22.7%. Meanwhile, Estonia's new prime minister, Jüri Ratas, hails from the pro-Moscow center party. Steve, the Kremlin has to be happy with all of these developments, no? Putin seems to be on a bit of a roll here.
I can't argue with the idea that Putin has to be happy with these election results after, and including the ones in the U.S. and Bulgaria, Moldova. I think
the change of government in Estonia.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's and I think after Trump's victory and these other elections, I mean, I think there are two things that Putin or Russia will be looking at. You know, one, just the sort of the general mood in the West, probably less criticism of Russia. And then the idea that there'll be more disunity affecting things like the sanctions, first mm-hmm. of all. Russia obviously has to hope for a softening of the sanctions over Ukraine. And then another thing, particularly with with Trump's victory and the picks that he's making for national security posts, and also Fillon's victory. Fillon wrote a book about, defeating Islamic totalitarianism that was published shortly before this vote. And I think this, if there's going to be a bigger focus in the West on Islamic militancy as a threat. And obviously Obama and Western leaders are focusing on this, mm-hmm. but I think a new way of looking at it that I think is more in line with the way the Kremlin is casting it. So I think that potentially bodes well for the Kremlin. If Trump and Europe are going to cooperate more, or going to be interested in cooperating more with Russia on this issue, there's obviously going to be less attention, or presumably there'll be less attention in the West on what Russia is doing in Russia and in its neighbors in the former Soviet republics, and also in Europe and Western Europe.
Yeah,
so I think that's, you know,
it seems to be an answer to the debate going on in the West about whether the main threat comes from the South, meaning Islamic militancy, or from the East, meaning a revanchist Russia.
Right, exactly. That's a concise way of putting it.
And, I mean, a couple of caveats here. I mean, this was just the first round of the center-right primary in France, but Fillon won 44.2%. Alain Juppé, who favors continuing the current course in France and keeping the sanctions regime, won 28.4%. Nicolas Sarkozy, who also favors rapprochement with Russia, got 22.7. He's endorsed Fillon in the second round. It looks like a big uphill climb for Juppé. Again, as I said, President Hollande is not popular. The left is in disarray. It looks like it's going to, right now, it's shaping up as like a Fillon-Le Pen second round, which has got to make Putin smile. The Estonian situation is interesting because Ratas, he hails from the center party, which is historically pro-Moscow, historically been shut out because of that. But in order to get into government, they made some changes. They got rid of their long-term leader, Edgar Savisaar, who is very pro-Moscow. And they scrapped an agreement they had with United Russia. Ratas has said he wants to continue the current policy. But still, the very fact of a prime minister from the center party in Estonia is shocking, to say the least.
Kind of a foot in the door.
A foot in the door, exactly. So he's the former mayor of Tallinn. Meanwhile, in Germany, Angela Merkel's popularity spiked following the U.S. election, but the country's domestic intelligence chief says that he is alarmed about potential interference from Moscow in the election. Merkel announced on Sunday she will seek a fourth term as chancellor, and many commentators are noting that the fate of the West will be in Germany's hands. Hyperbole?
So I guess it comes down to Putin versus Merkel for the future of the world. you know, not too much hyperbole there, I suppose. You know, I think one thing, you know, among the caveats, I guess, to some degree, you know, for the West and people in the West, Merkel's situation, you know, may cause some kind of a backlash against this, you know, all these developments that are, it's going in the Kremlin's favor. I mean, obviously, you've seen in Germany after the U.S. election result, there's been, as you say, her popularity spiked. So I think there's some feeling there that, okay, look, you know, let's get serious now.
It's almost like Germany feels like it has to become the new America.
Right. So, and, you know, Obama has spoken about that, about that. So I think, you know, for it is kind of, you know, it does set up quite an interesting challenge for Merkel and for Western Europe.
And can she stand up on her own against Russian revanchism and all of this populism that Russian revanchism is feeding into and exploiting? It remains to be seen. That election is not until later this year. It has to take place between August and October. Right. So it'll be almost a year after the U.S. elections. But all eyes will be on that one. Although there are many people think that if Le Pen wins, it might become moot because the EU may begin to disintegrate with a Le Pen victory. Although we'll see. On another topic, the arrest last week of Economic Development Minister Alexei Ulyukayev has stopped talk that a domestic thaw was coming to Russia. That talk began when Sergei Kiriyenko was named Deputy Kremlin Chief of Staff in charge of political management, of course, the former prime minister, liberal reputation. And the talk before the U.S. elections was that the Kremlin was kind of preparing for a thaw. They were thinking about having early elections to make sure Putin gets in there, gearing up for a lot more pressure coming from the U.S. under a potential Clinton administration. Since Donald Trump's victory in the U.S. elections, the Kremlin appears a lot more confident. It scrapped alleged plans for to move the election forward. You have the arrest of Ulyukayev, who's associated with the liberal group, and talk of a thaw has stopped. Are we already seeing a Trump effect in Russia?
Well, you know, I mean, I think to some degree we are. I mean, Ulyukayev's arrest, Ulyukayev was apparently under surveillance for months before his arrest. And obviously it has a lot to do with the privatization of Bashneft and possible privatization of part of Rosneft. But I think it definitely can be seen in the context of the U.S. election and Trump's win. It's kind of a signal from the Siloviki, for one thing, a warning to the liberals that, this is business as usual, and that after Trump's win, well, there may be a thaw with the U.S., you know, in the offing, but not here. I think that is a signal that the Siloviki are giving with this case. And it also seems to indicate that, as you say, that Putin and the Kremlin are more confident about the future than they would have been had Clinton won the U.S. election. I mean, Clinton would have been more of a known quantity for the Kremlin, but still there was a sense that had she won, there would have been or there quite possibly would have been efforts to really appease the U.S. and tone down the confrontation, essentially as a matter of survival. So I think that's that's like less likely. But I think, I mean, you mentioned the end of a thaw. I think we're in the Putin tradition. We're going to see a mix, some liberal looking steps with Kiriyenko, but not much actual change.
Although a lot of commentators thought the appointment of Kiriyenko was getting ready for a Clinton presidency on the domestic front. The idea being that pressure was going to be coming from the U.S. and from the West, more pressure. And therefore, there was a need to kind of thaw at home.
Exactly.
And now you got to wonder if they're even thinking maybe it wasn't such a good idea to appoint Kiriyenko after all.
Yes, that's an interesting point. I mean, it's sort of, okay, you're there's no job for you. That could be the case. I mean, I tend to think that Putin will, it doesn't look like this whole thing with Ulyukayev's arrest was very well planned. I think it was planned, but possibly not very well planned. But I think Putin will try to make the best of it and presumably keep Kiriyenko in. And, you know, I think he'll still use him and use the situation to kind of balance forces against each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, one other thing that's interesting about this that happened during this time is the the Kirovlev's conviction of Navalny was well, not dropped, but it was sent back to court. You know, does this fit in? Is this an effort to, or was this a way to let him run for president, which would be another sign that, well, they're pretty confident.
They're pretty confident
now.
Yeah,
and they can still use the, you know, the repeat trial, the retrial, to
keep him in line,
to keep him in line, and then potentially keep him out of the election if necessary.
Lots to look at as in the coming weeks and months. So that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. But next Monday, we will not be doing it because I will be off attending a conference in Bratislava. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Until then, I leave you with the ambient sounds of Noise MC.